T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ha! I knew it. Here's some settled science for you, Lee.
All right.
If you had asked me, as a person who, as you know, must have that glass of wine on Friday.
Yes.
Yes. When wine o'clock is.
Wine o'clock.
Wine o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
If you'd asked me when 1 o'clock is, I would have told you 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
Right, because I never can make it past 9 on Friday night, given how early I get up for the show, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So for me, 1 o'clock is always 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday. I only drink one day a week. And I don't drink much. I have a glass of wine. Usually don't finish it because I'm a lightweight. Well, I mean, this is how I know this is settled science, right? New survey, a winemaker in Northern California paid for a new survey to find out exactly when 1 o'clock is. And it turns out the answer is precisely at 6:59 p.m.
Well, see, you're only off by a minute there, weren't
see?
You?
See? Yep. There you go. It's unseemly to be drinking at 4, that's why. Anyway.
This is true. For those of us that keep regular hours, which is not you and I, that wouldn't look good with a boss.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like when the salespeople here are like, can you just stay to go out to lunch? You mean dinner?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Can you stay till 9 p.m. tonight?
Yeah,
and then
really.
We'll go out for dinner?
Exactly.
Well, no, I don't want it well. Okay.
No, they would stay 9 p.m. tonight. We'd go out for breakfast this way.
Exactly. There's some overnight guys I listen to across the country, you know, and so they say, we get Chris requests from time to time from people who keep daylight hours. They're like, can you come in for a meeting at 1 p.m.? And they're like, no. Can you come in for a meeting at 2 a.m.?
Exactly.
Well, then no, we'll not be there. But anyway, this came with a top 10 list of the little pleasures in life. The older you get, the more that I think you appreciate them.
I agree with that.
Do you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because so much of your life, and this is a good thing, is, you know, obviously is taken up with, okay, got to get the kids home, we're done, got to get everything done, you know, got to iron, got to blah, blah. If you can just get that 5 minutes, you so appreciate it more than in your 20s when you were restless and bored. But anyway, top 10, getting a massage. Oh, yeah. There's nothing like coming out of a massage place. Maybe somebody's given you a gift certificate or something, $100 later, and you're like, oh, that was worth it. You feel like spaghetti, you know? Fresh sheets on your bed, yeah. Number 8, leisurely walk. Number 7, going to happy hour with your friends. I haven't done that in, I'm not going to tell you how many years. Number 6, date nights.
Yeah,
we have no babysitter here in town except when Dad comes in, like maybe once a quarter. So date nights in our house, that's Saturday night.
We need to start a GoFundMe account for you guys.
Do you?
Yeah, that's it. That's what we'll do.
Babysitters are exorbitantly expensive, but, you know, after the nanny axe murders.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. I can't go there.
Yeah. Well, quality control is necessary.
Yes, quality control is necessary. All right, number 5, indulging in dessert. Check. Number 4, reading a book, which I hardly ever get to do. I can remember back, like, in school, they'd make you read a book and you'd complain.
Yeah.
Now I have to sneak off to do it.
Yeah.
Number 3, shopping for yourself. Hardly ever get to do that anymore. Number 2, a home-cooked meal. And number 1, being able to just hang out on the couch and watch TV.
Well, I do a lot less of that than I used to because there's just not that much good stuff on, to be honest with you. But, you know, being the elder person here on the staff on this program, and I agree, though, it is the little things. To me, it's more about doing things and experiencing things than things themselves as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
I'm much more interested in going to a distinctive, nice place to eat. Doesn't have to be expensive, but, you know, I really like to get to hole-in-the-wall suggestions from folks, and those have been some of my best culinary experiences lately. Just these, non-chain-related restaurants and eateries and stuff and things like that. And just, you know, going places, doing things and experiencing things. As opposed to buying things. That's pretty much the where I get the joy out of life these days.
Well, send those in, because that's actually where I was going to go later on in the show. New article out from Condé Nast Traveler, or Nast, or Nast, I don't know.
Condé Nast.
Is it Nast?
Yeah.
Like nasty?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, they've got a list of the best restaurants in Greenville. Roost, haven't tried that one. Methodical Coffee.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that does. Pomegranate on Main. Le Petit Croissant. These do not sound like places where you and I would be accepted, Lee. They make us eat out back. Husk, of course. Husk always comes up. I keep meaning to try Husk.
Yeah, I know. I do too.
Yeah.
Got to go there.
All right. Well, that's a list of all those highbrow places. Where's that hole in the wall you eat at in the upstate where you're like, man, everybody should go there. It's so good. Text it to us and we'll read it. 800-347-1063. Text line 713-07.
And then you have to send those as sales leads to the sales department.
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. This is your chance to get a little free PR here.
Before our salespeople call on you.
Yes, before they call on me and tell me, stop it! You just gave away a billable minute.
That's right. Tara, remember, we sell radio advertising here. We don't give it away.
It'll all come back to me. Okay. So anyway, moving on. Did you see this clip? By the way, the Democrats have put off their censure of Ilhan Omar for being an anti-Semite.
These people should be ridiculed for this. They should
be. Hypocrisy.
The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC. These people should be going after Democrat leadership for even hesitating to have this vote. And quite honestly, they still should be raked over the coals for not naming this representative and censuring her and removing her from the Foreign Relations Committee.
Absolutely. And the fact that the censure of Ilhan Omar does not mention Ilhan Omar is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It gets even worse. Horizontal Harris has come out and said that we should not criticize Ilhan Omar. You know why? Because she's a black woman and it could put her in danger. Okay, so now the new standard as laid out by Horizontal Harris here is that it's okay to be an anti-Semite if you are a Democrat and a black woman.
Exactly. Because
that's okay. It's understandable.
If you can be a racist bigot if you are a minority because it might put you in danger. Now, if you are a white racist bigot, well, you're in no danger at all because of your white privilege card. So I guess that we would have to address that on the floors of Congress there. Yeah, sure.
This is incredible. As I play this for you, imagine if this was Donald Trump and not Ilhan Omar. There is a separate bill right now in the House that just condemns anti-Semitism. It's not the censure of Ilhan Omar. It's a different one. Just flat out, just simply says we're against, you know, prejudice against Jewish people, right? We ought to get like, 100% vote for that.
You would think.
That wouldn't be like, that's not hard, okay? Like one of the few uncontroversial things going through Congress right now. You would think Fox News goes up to Ilhan Omar, sticks a microphone in her face and says, will you support a bill, you know, this one, it hasn't come up for a vote yet. Will you support this bill condemning anti-Semitism? Now, this is the radio, so you can't see this. She just looks at them, smiles, and walks away. That would finish Donald Trump.
Yep.
If he did, it would be over.
We actually asked Congresswoman Omar point blank if she supports a bill that condemns anti-Semitism. Watch this.
I just quickly ask, would you support this resolution condemning anti-Semitism?
Nothing.
Yeah. Silence is deafening.
Silence is deafening. Again, that's not the bill censuring her. This is a separate bill.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It is now a step too far to support a bill condemning anti-Semitism. It just says we condemn anti-Semitism in all its forms. That is too far for the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask, where's the censure of her? I mean, do they not tell us 24/7 that Trump is a racist, but they don't really have any examples? Well, here you go. I mean, it's right there. It's on video.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you let that stand? Rhetorical question.
Yeah. It's because it's a Democrat and because the rules never apply to anyone with a D behind their name. The rules apply, hyper applied to anyone, of course, that's a Republican.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just understood that we're all racist. Look, but she's a black woman, and if you criticize her for her anti-Semitism, she could be in danger somehow. I don't know, not any more danger than the 36 Jews who've been attacked and beaten in the first 2 months of the year in New York City alone. When you have people like her, they're making anti-Semitism okay. They're justifying these attacks. I think this is why there have been 36 this year, according to the New York Times. There were only 21 in the same period last year. Yet she gets a total pass. Total pass. Well, your favorite hole-in-the-wall place to eat. Those are rolling in. Good morning, by the way. Texter writes, great hole-in-the-wall restaurants are And I don't even know these. BB's on Lawrence Road and Tanner's Big Orange on Pleasantburg Drive, both in Greenville. That's from Mrs. Veronica. Good morning, Veronica. Now, the texter writes, Havana Kitchen right behind you guys on Woodruff Road. Really good food. I'll have to check that out. Texter writes, La Tortas Mexican, Pleasantburg and Wade Hampton. So good. I have to try that out, too. I'm going to have to print this out after I'm done with the show today. Texter writes, Mike and Jeff's Barbecue in Greenville, Hole in the Wall Shack. While holding your rib bone, you flick the meat right off. Yum. Not sure if that's a visual I want, but you make the point. Texter writes, Merrill's is the best pizza place so far, and there are very good wings in Greer. You know what I tried this weekend? It was good. I love bagels. I'm a New York girl at heart. I do. Oh, I love a good bagel. I tried Greenfield's. It was excellent. Yeah, I had not had a real authentic bagel, like, you know, made in the shop since I got here. And I went a little nuts. I had to have one. So I sent Renbo Loco out to get the bagel. He's not a bagel kind of guy, but he ended up enjoying them with me. Texter writes, Greer Tacos, located in Barnyard Flea Market in Greer. Another texter writes, Hare and Hound in Landrum, South Carolina. Great food, reasonably priced. Let's see. What's that? I can't tell where this one. Oh, best barbecue and hash around, Lancaster's Big Oak Barbecue and Union. I had to love how I asked for great hole-in-the-wall places to eat, and y'all send me barbecue joints. Oh, you are so South Carolina. I love barbecue, too, though. Texter writes, Golden Brown and Delicious is an amazing small restaurant in the West End. Very reasonably priced. That's what I'm looking for, reasonably priced. Texter writes, I don't know what this is related to. I just like it. All I need in the morning is a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. I should need more Jesus than coffee, but I'm with you. Texter writes, my wife and I enjoy the job. What? I'm not sure what they meant. Anyway, best hole in the wall is Zorba's. Get the cheeseburger. So says Karen, I will. Another one, Eggs Up Grill on Woodruff, the best breakfast ever. They are. Oh my gosh, we did an event out there. I tried not to eat the whole thing. Texter writes, the flat on Woodruff is great. You know, there could be a great restaurant on Woodruff and you would not know. You could drive by it like 500 times, you wouldn't know. It's just so many. It's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming. All right. Speaking of overwhelming, I got some business. I got some work I got to do. If you listen to the show in this hour and you do not listen to later parts of the show, you missed this yesterday. Well, talk about standing your hair on end. Barry Barnett, who is the prosecutor for Spartanburg, I call them solicitors here, wrote a opinion piece in the Spartanburg Herald Journal about how absolutely deadly dangerous this so-called sentencing reform bill is in the legislature. This is not one of these bills where they're like, well, we'll let off the low-level drug offenders. No, they're starting at the top with murderers, rapists, sex offenders, DUI with fatality, you know, the kind of people we definitely want back on the streets, and slashing their prison terms. It's sick. Here's what he writes. Let me share with you a frightening example of what could happen if the House bills are passed. Imagine a man, this is in our state legislature. Imagine a man sexually assaults your 3-year-old daughter as well as other young girls. He's convicted of first-degree criminal sexual conduct and ordered to serve 40 years in prison under our current no-parole law. He will serve 85% of his sentence, 34 years in prison, before his possible release. So that's where we are today. You got to serve 85%. So sex offender, you're in there for 34 years. If the House bill passes, you and your daughter will revisit the crime 15 years later, not 34, 15, when you receive notice of a sentence modification hearing. The notice will discuss how the inmate only has to serve 65% of his prison sentence before seeking modification. So 15. Oh, by the way, the Senate bill is worse. You only have to serve 50. 50%. I'm shocked. By the way, so the guy who would be automatically 34 years prison, no possible release, becomes eligible now after 15 years. Oh, by the way, they say they're doing this to save money on prisons. Folks, you so rarely have a chance to do anything in life that'll save a life. You got plenty of charitable opportunities to do good. But when do you ever get a chance to do something that will save a life? This will save lives. Barry Barnett, again, the prosecutor for Spartanburg, said literally, I mean, he just listed murderers who'll be out the door. They're going to be out the door, the murderers. Here is your chance to save a life today. Stop this idiocy, this madness that is Senate Bills 155 and 161, House Bills 3322 and 3580. Text the word CALL to the text line. We will send you a link that will help you find your legislators, wherever they're hiding, under a rock probably, if this is the product of their work. Slimy things they are. We'll send you a link that will help you find your legislator, if you don't know who they are, and call or email them. Tell them no. Vote no on the sentencing reform bills. We are not down with murderers wandering around town. Simple message. It'll be hard for them to understand. Speak slowly. They are state legislators. Tell them no. Text the word CALL, C-A-L-L, to the text line, 71307. Let's take this one down. Texter writes, hey, Tara, I texted in several times in the past, and I love your show. As a Jewish man, I've distanced myself from the Jewish community because their refusal to call out anti-Semitism on the left is disheartening and concerning. It's totally acceptable in their eyes when somebody who is also liberal can be anti-Semitic. As a Jewish man, I find that double standard unacceptable. I do too, sir. Thank you for listening to the show. Another text writes, this one, I want to get into this for a second to talk about what Barry Barnett, the prosecutor in Spartanburg, was talking about yesterday with this piece that he wrote. I mean, this is truly horrific. I mean, you got to be cold, almost psychopathic, as a legislator to put your name on this thing, as Carl Allen, our local legislator, has done. He's the only one from the upstate who sponsored it, so that's good news. It's a bunch of low-country Republicans, many of whom are trial lawyers. I would expect nothing else from the low-country. Texter writes, and this is what they're doing. Remember we had one of the worst prison riots ever in the United States of America, South Carolina, last year, right? So the pressure's on them to figure out how to deal with this. So their solution, because they never do anything that makes sense in Columbia, never happens. So they always pick, like, the thing that makes the least sense. That's what they do there, which is honestly why we better. We elect them, we'll give them a salary to stay home. Seriously, we'd come out so much better if they just stayed home. They do so much damage when they're in session. So that's what they're trying to do. They're under pressure. They know the prisons are overcrowded. They know they need to pump money into it. But you can't, money into prisons is not a shiny object you can take back to your district and say, hey, I got this. It's not a shiny object that you can trade to some support group for campaign finance, for campaign donations. There's no campaign donation you get for protecting the public. They don't even know about it. So they don't want to spend money on the prisons. They'd rather release the most dangerous criminals. Texter writes, Tara, I applaud your efforts to stop the early release of criminals, but I also would like for you to understand why this is happening in prisons. The prisons are overcrowded and terribly understaffed. No one seems to be concerned that all 21 of South Carolina's prisons don't have enough officers to cover their shift and don't have enough nurses to cover medical to take care of these people. No one is concerned with that problem. The problems are that we are 15 to 18% underpaid among the 49 states. As we get behind this legislation to stop the early release, let's also get behind legislation to get more money to incentivize workers to come work in our prison system to control these inmates. That's exactly what it's about. They don't want to spend the money. And they don't care who dies. They don't care. The first line of this, written by Prosecutor Barry Barnett of Spartanburg, the lead prosecutor there, the solicitor. Listen to the first line. The South Carolina legislature is debating bills that could place you or family or your family in danger. Folks, people will die if this passes. They will be killed at the hands of violent people we could have left in prison. They're starting at the top. No parole offenses. Those are the most violent, the most deadly, the most dangerous. The bill's retroactive. So they would literally be dumping the most violent criminals, some of them, back out onto the streets. Here's what Barry Barnett writes. The bills make at least 3,465 no parole inmates. Again, those are the worst in the system, the most violent. That's why they're no parole. Eligible for release at an earlier date. Well, that's fabulous. I wonder why they didn't mention this when they were running for office. They planned to do this. I guess they were only running for office like, what, 8 months ago? Of that group, 396 inmates, 99 of them serving time for sexual assault. which is no big deal, right, ladies? I mean, what are these men running the legislature? Oh, sexual assault. No big deal. No, we love sexual assault. It's no big deal. It's like a dime bag of pot. What? What? 99 of them would be immediately eligible for release from the South Carolina Department of Corrections. This is not a guy caught with a dime bag of pot. These are the most hardened criminals in the system. This is insane. By the way, they did not, when they wrote the bill, they did not consult law enforcement or victims. When law enforcement and victims found out about this monstrosity, they showed up at a hearing and the legislators promised, oh, we'll fix it, yeah, and they never did. Here's what else Barry Barnett writes. Walter Lance, Robert Brown, James Dimsdale, Brady Lloyd, and Leonard Lee Foster are a few of the convicted. Google any of them, they'll stand your hair on end. Are a few of the convicted felons waiting for these bills to pass. These inmates are serving sentences of 30 to 50 years for crimes such as first-degree seminal sexual misconduct with a minor. That's no big deal. Attempted murder? Nobody cares. Armed robbery? What's the big deal? Kidnapping and driving under the influence resulting in death. Additionally, some of these inmates are repeat offenders. All would be eligible to walk out the door years before they otherwise would have. And then he writes, you know, imagine a man that sexually assaults your three-year-old daughter as well as other young girls. He is convicted of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in order to serve 40 years in prison. Under the current system, he's got to do 85% of that. That means 34 years. That's a hefty sentence. Well, they're going to fix that in the legislature. If the bills pass, you and your daughter would revisit the crime 15 years later when you receive the notice of a sentence modification hearing. So he, instead of serving the full 34 years, would begin to be eligible to be let out at 15 years. Not 34, 15. You support that? Our legislators do. Here's what else he writes. So your poor little girl has been sexually assaulted and sexually abused by this child predator, along with other kids. Out the door they go. The original prosecutor is no longer on the solicitor's at the solicitor's office, and the original trial judge is no longer on the bench. The new prosecutor and new judge have no knowledge of the case outside the court transcript or case file, Barry Barnett writes. About this horrific legislation. Your daughter and the other girls just turned 18 years old. They worked through their victimization with counseling, but now must revisit one of their worst days. If the inmate's petition is unsuccessful the first time, petition to be let out, the inmate can refile every 2 years until it's granted. The victims will have to relive the nightmare over and over and over again. Right now, they don't have to. He stays in prison for 34 years. Now it's 15. Oh, and this is the absolute psychopathic fireworks finale. God, what a cold heart you'd have to write this. The burden used to be on the inmate to prove he was ready to go out the door. They flipped it to the victim. So if the victim doesn't show up to be re-victimized every 2 years and make the argument for keeping the maniac behind closed doors, good chance out the door he goes. Brought to you by your state legislators, who think a child sex offender with multiple victims really ought not to serve more than 15 years when he currently gets 34. By the way, you want to stop this? Text the word CALL, C-A-L-L, CALL to the text line, 71307. We'll send you a link that'll help you find your state legislator, tell you what rock to look under, and give you ways to contact them, phone, email. Listen, we are polite people. Tell them no sentencing reform bill. Do not vote yes. No vote on the sentencing reform. Text CALL to 71307. Did you hear that? Epic rant by Rush. Conveniently furnished by Rush at this time every day during the show. This is exactly what I have been warning you, that the tactics that have made Mexico the second most violent place on earth for violent crime per capita after only Syria would spill over the border, that we would see these tactics. I've been talking about this for a year. What did he just say? Police officers beginning to flee. The Washington Post reported this, so it might be true. Beginning to flee El Salvador. 15 Salvadorian police officers are in the process of being resettled as refugees by the United Nations in the U.S. Why? Normally, we resettle people because their government's trying to kill them. They're being resettled because MS-13 is trying to kill them. Remember that, trying to kill them. That's what they do. That's what the Mexican cartels do. That's what MS-13 does. That's what the El Salvadorian gangs do. This is what goes on in every country. They target them at home. They kill their families. They target judges at their home. They kill their families. This is how that cartel leader I was telling you about last week keeps getting out of prison, even though he's killed dozens of people. Judges just let him out. Doesn't matter how many times they convict him of murder, because they know their whole family would be killed if they don't let him out. What are we going to do when this comes here? This will come here. It will. You'll have judges afraid for their lives. ICE trying to stop it, and the Democrats insisting on sanctuary cities and letting them out. The same people threatening to kill the judges. Wait for it. It's coming. How do I know it's already happening in New York? This dovetails perfectly with what we've talked about in the last week. What do we just hear? We've got police officers fleeing El Salvador, 9 of them killed in January alone by MS-13. The place has become ungovernable, unpoliceable, chaos, anarchy, which is exactly the kind of environment MS-13 likes to create by targeting them at home. And they're targeting them at home where? In one of the country's biggest sanctuary cities, New York. The NYPD just told officers, listen, don't wear your uniforms home. MS-13 might kill you. Vary your routines. Be aware, we've got intel. They're going to start going after you at home. Of course they are. Why wouldn't they? It works in every other country. We're seeing these tactics here. This is not an El Salvador thing. This is an America thing now. I mean, good God, we just had an MS-13 shootout on the subway in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district. Broad daylight. Started with shooting, ended in an execution on video. Everybody's standing around videoing it. That kind of stuff happens on the streets of Mexico and El Salvador. Not here, but it did. These are the same tactics. I'm telling you, this would lead to absolute lawlessness in parts of this country. I say parts because there's going to be other parts of this country that's not going to be put up with. And you're going to have to live there if you want to be safe, I guess. But yet they won't let us have walls. Jordan can have a wall. Israel can have a wall. We'll pay for that. We'll pay for all of it. Saudi Arabia can have a wall. We built that one too. Not us, though. Not us. We don't deserve a wall. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Speaking of a wall, Kirsten Nielsen, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, so she would know a few things I would think about Homeland Security. Dismissed yesterday and mocked by the Democrats for suggesting, look, we are in an absolute crisis in this country. She attempted to use settled science and real numbers on them, but that didn't move them either. But the crisis, as she lays it out, is terrifying. We literally have open borders in this country right now. We'll get into that in the next segment. Also, the company that has offered to build the wall, over 280 miles of it, for about $4 billion. Less than half of what government estimates say. They say they could begin anytime, and they'll give us the first part for free as a sign of goodwill. So what's the problem? Let's start building.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.